So glad to have you guys. Amen. Amen. So I'm excited. Okay. Minister Tim is going to narrate. Okay. Give Minister Tim a hand, please.
Amen. And amen.
And each of our speakers have 7 minutes. Say seven. Seven is a number of what? At 7 minutes, you're complete. I got to teach at a missions conference tomorrow morning in L.A., amen? Everybody say seven?
Seven.
Glory.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for doing that great job at telling them what I was going to tell them. Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing? Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Why don't you just give God a hand clap of praise? Do you love him? We have seven dynamic speakers. I'm going to need that same enthusiasm when they come to this podium. We want to celebrate them as they come. 7 minutes. 7 minutes seems like it could be very easy for pastors, right? But pastors, see, the thing with pastors, they study and they study and they study and they have so much that they could put into this word. But pastors, just like my pastor said, you got 7 minutes. 7 minutes. So if you're going to hoop, hoop in seven. If you're going to holler, holler in seven. 7 minutes. So here's what we're going to do. So our first speaker we have today, and this is the way we're going to do this. I'm going to call the first three speakers up. You're just going to come up, and you're just going to hit it, the 7 minutes, and go. And then we're going to go into our offering after that, and then I'll come back and introduce the next speakers. So the first speakers we have, Pastor Mel Campbell. He will be speaking on Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then we have Pastor Lawrence Scott, who will be speaking on today, You Shall Be With Me in Paradise. And then we have Pastor Rachel Armas, who will be speaking on Woman, Behold Your Son. Son, Behold Your Mother. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for our first speaker, Pastor Mel Campbell.
I am just laughing and laughing at 7 minutes. Pastor, when does the seven start, though? Right now. New Day, is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening, to worship with you, to be a part of this blessing tonight. Thank you, Pastor Tony. Thank you, Jackie, for that. Romans chapter 5. We're going to approach the cross tonight. As we approach the cross, there's two things that we've got to understand about this passage. As we approach the cross, when Jesus Christ is crying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. It's an invitation to us to come to the cross. The first part of that invitation is as sinners, as those who were looking at him on the cross, those who had been screaming and yelling and saying, crucify him. He invites us to that cross. We're that group of people who he's called to the cross. We were all at one point rebellious. We're all at one point turned away from God. We're all at one point turned to ourselves. We're all at one point just thinking about me, myself, and I. And he invited us to that cross. And he invites us to the cross. And at the foot of that cross, as we scream what we scream at him, crucify him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas instead. Give me wealth instead. Give me that house instead. Give me this car instead. Give me this career instead. Give me this position or these three letters at the end of my name. Give me that, Jesus. I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. I don't want to go where you're asking me to go. We were those at the foot of the cross saying, give me something else. Give me someone else. And Jesus would look to the Father and say, Father, forgive him. Forgive her, Lord. She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know what she's asking. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't know what he's asking. Forgive them. And we didn't. At that point, we didn't. In our sins, we just could not see who it was that we were saying no to. The woman at the well, he said, if you had known who it was who asked you for this water, you would have given him. If you had just known who it was, she didn't know. You didn't know. I didn't know. So as we were screaming and as we were rebelling, as we were saying no to the King of Glory, we were in a place, an ignorant place, where we just didn't understand. And Jesus is going to tell us, or Paul tells us in Romans 5, says, while we were helpless, we just couldn't help ourselves. While we were helpless, at that right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, while we were loving the darkness instead of loving the light, at that point, Christ died for us. And Paul would say, while we were yet enemies, it's while we were enemies of God that he reconciled us through the death of his son. Through the death of his son, we've been reconciled. While we were helpless, while we were sinners, while we were enemies, that's when he said, looked upon us and screamed and talked to the Father and said, Father, they don't know. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. They're helpless. They can't help themselves. They're sinners, Lord. Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And so he forgives us. And we've come to that cross and we've accepted that forgiveness. That's everyone here. That's my assumption tonight, that everyone here has accepted that forgiveness from the Father and that we are saved now. And we know who he is now. And we act and we believe a certain way because we have come to the saving faith and the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. But that's just the first part of the cross. The first part of being at the cross is the invitation to the cross. The second part of the cross, or the second invitation, is for us to dwell there at the cross. Don't leave. Don't leave the cross, because Jesus wants us there at the cross, and he wanted us there to learn not that we just need to be that we needed to be forgiven, but he calls us to stay at the foot of the cross so that we could learn how to do it ourselves. So that we can learn how to forgive. He said, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So he calls us and he invites us to the cross. And he invites us to look up at him. He invites us to accept him for who he is. But then he turns and says, now do the same thing. And sometimes we get out of sorts with people for leaving a cap off the toothpaste. Sometimes we get upset with people for cutting us off on that 91 when we've had a long, long, hard day. And sometimes we can tell ourselves, I forgive them. I'm going to forgive them for that small offense. I can forgive them for even raising their voice at me. I can forgive them for cussing me out. I can forgive them for the small things, but Jesus invites us to the foot of the cross to see the depth of forgiveness we don't understand. He, while he was being killed and while he was being crucified, it was his executioners that he was asking God to forgive. And sometimes we tell ourselves, we make ourselves feel good because we've forgiven somebody for something little. But we hold on to things that are hard. Jesus is asking us to do the hard. Jesus is asking us to do the impossible. Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what he did to me. He cheated on me. Pastor, you asking me to forgive that? Stephon Clark. Oh. Pastor, you don't understand. That was pure evil. You know what Dylann Roof did? He walked into a church and did what he did. And Jesus would turn to us and say, that's the depth of forgiveness that I'm asking you to understand and for you to accept and for you to do. Now, there are some people who are still full of anger and hate. And I'm talking about God's children who don't understand that depth of forgiveness. It's not just I forgive you for the small things, but I can even forgive you for persecuting me, for hurting me, for not loving me, for hating me, for doing all of those evil things against me. I can still love you. I can still forgive you. Jesus said, love your enemies. You've heard it said. You know what they said. They said, hate your enemy. But I'm telling you to rise above that. I'm telling you to go deeper in me. And you are not as deep as you think you are. I am not as deep as I think I am. If right now I'm holding on to a grudge for something that is insignificant in the kingdom of God. Insignificant, but we are. We hold on to things. I'm holding on to things. We hold on to things that just don't make a difference when it comes to the kingdom of God. Let it go. So the invitation to the cross is for forgiveness, for us to get it, and then forgiveness for us to give it. We've got to give it, and not just for the little things. God is asking us to go deeper, saints, deeper and deeper, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt and it's not going to feel good and it's going to feel just, but God is calling you and me to take a seat and take that forgiveness that he offers. Amen.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, New Day. Thank you, Pastor Tony. Thank you, Sister Jackie, for inviting me, a little old preacher from down in Cypress, California. Amen. My subject is, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. First of all, if we're going to look at the text, we have to really realize that Jesus has gone through six trials. Six trials. Actually, two trials, but six hearings. He went three times before the Jews and three times before the Roman government, before the Roman officials. He had to go through these trials before he even went to the cross. And as he's going through these trials as an innocent man. But he has so much love for man that he's not going to let the trial stop him from his mission. You should never let your trial stop you from your mission. Because if you have a mission, your trial is just a catapult to get you where you need to go and how you need to get there. And if you go through hard times, it's okay, because we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose, not your purpose, not my purpose. So Jesus here is going through the trials, and as he goes through the trials, now he comes to a place called Golgotha, which is called the skull, which is called Calvary. He's at Golgotha, and they're nailing him to the cross, and they put him up on this cross, and people walk by, and they wag their fingers at him and say all manner of evil against him. Two thieves are with him. Now, Pilate was trying to not get Jesus to go to the cross, because when he flogged Jesus, he thought that beating would be enough to suffice the Roman, the Jews who wanted him dead. And the only reason the Jews wanted him dead because they were haters. They didn't like what he was doing. They did not like that he came and he said that he was king of the Jews. He said, "You have said well." Because he is the king of the Jews. And his charge was that he was king of the Jews. And that's what he was charged with. He wasn't charged with being a criminal. And here's the other thing about the flogging. Floggings never took place on Roman citizens. It never took place on Roman citizens. It only took place on slaves, criminals, and thieves, and foreigners. It never took place on Roman citizens. So I don't know. I've been looking through the text, and some of these smarter preachers may be able to tell me if the two thieves were beaten or not, because I never read if they were. But I do know that Jesus was beaten beyond recognition, and he was beaten, and his back was open. And then they put a robe on him, and the robe, they put it on him to mock him. And if you think about a sore that's being open, and you have something on top of that sore, and as it's healing, and then you rip that robe off, it starts back bleeding all over again. Now Jesus is on the cross. His back is up against this cross. He's on the cross, and the two thieves are there, and one of the thieves say to the other, now remember in Matthew the 27th chapter, the 44th verse, both thieves were making railing accusations against him. Now we come to Luke, where this other thief come to his senses, amen. He realizes that he's on the cross with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knows something that's about to take place, and he sees something different that not even the disciples see, because the disciples thought that the kingdom was over. The disciples thought that when he went to the cross, that was the end of it, but that wasn't the end of the story, amen. See, the thief had enough sense to know that when you come into your kingdom, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, you don't have to worry about when I come, because today, right here, right now, at this very moment, you're going to be in the kingdom. Amen. You're already in the kingdom.
So he looks at the other thief and said, put some speck on it. I know that's not the way to say it, but put some speck on it. Amen. Don't you have enough respect for this man right here to know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. Shut your mouth. Be quiet and give some respect to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to say to you today, do you have your ticket to paradise already punched? Are you already ready to go? Amen. Or are you just coming to church to be at church? Amen. Well, I showed up, Pastor. Quit showing up for the pastor and show up for Jesus. Amen. Quit showing up for pastor and show up for you so that you can get something for yourself. Because if you want Jesus, pastor can't give it to you. He can teach it to you, but he can't give them to you. You got to get him for yourself. Get your ticket to paradise. I know that's a worldly song. Says two tickets to paradise. I already got mine punched. I'm ready to go. I'm already going to board Heaven Airlines. Amen. When my day comes, it'll be over, but it won't be over. It'll just be the beginning, amen, of a great day. Amen. So today, right now, tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can get your ticket to paradise right here at this altar tonight on this day, amen. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Well, I think he left me some minutes left over, right? I can take the minutes? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The grace of God. Amen. Hello, somebody. Well, I want to thank Pastor Tony and Jackie, amen, for inviting me here tonight. And it's an honor and a privilege, amen, to be with the saints of God tonight. Amen. And tonight, my scripture is found in the book of, in the Gospel of John, amen. John, and we're going to go to John chapter 19. And right there in John chapter 19, the word of God here in John chapter 19, and it's when Jesus is on the cross and his mother's there at his feet. And it says, when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Amen. How many know that this evening that in the Gospel of John, he is the only one that records his mother Mary standing at his feet? Amen. How many know that there's something about a mother? Hello, somebody. Right? There's something about a great mother in the house of God tonight. Amen. But how many know as well that she's here at the feet of Jesus, but it's very common at this time for her to be there. Why? Because it's the Passover. Amen. And the book tells us, the word of God tells us in Luke chapter 41 that everyone would go to Jerusalem for the Passover, including his parents. Amen. And so this is not uncommon for Mary to be there. And Mary's there. And now Mary's there at this time, at this specific time. But how many know she's there and she's watching something? She's watching something very ugly. She's watching her son in trouble. She's watching her son there in trouble. He's been tried. He's been condemned. He's been beaten. He's been spat on. He's been there nailed to the cross. And this woman, this mother, has got to watch this take place. How many mothers in the house know that when someone messes with your baby, you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Right? The hair goes back, right? The hands come up, right? Right? And I can only imagine, right? Mary's doing the same thing, right? But she's there and she's weeping for her son that is dying on the cross. But how many know that this is a prophecy being fulfilled? This is a prophecy being fulfilled. In Luke chapter 2, verse 35, the word of God says, there in that scripture says, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Hello, somebody. I don't know about you, but I can only imagine that sword piercing my soul. And Mary was suffering some great pain, some agony with her son, and being there to watch her son die. How many know tonight that as we go through trials and tribulations and pain, our Jesus is there in heaven, but he's standing, he's watching us, but he is there with us. He says, my son, my daughter, I see what you're going through, but I will give you a way of escape. I will be with you there in that time. Don't give up. Don't let go. Why? Because Jesus was at all him an example. He never let up. He never let go because he had all of us in mind tonight. Hello, thank you, Jesus, tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But Jesus was there and he was speaking to his mother. He spoke to his disciple, John. And we can only learn from Jesus on the cross there as he was giving words, as he was speaking out from the cross. And I want to give you 3 points tonight. The first one is that his love for his family. Jesus had love for his family, his earthly family, his mother, the one that birthed him. He had love for her. How many know that we must love our parents no matter what? It is not only was it a command in the book of Exodus when the commandments came out, but here it is again, a command from the cross that we've got to love our parents and we've got to honor our parents. Hello, thank you, Jesus. And my mother lives with me. Hello, somebody. My mother lives with me and I got to take care of my mom. Amen. She took care of me and my messed up, right? My messed up teens, right? My young adulthood. My mom took care of me. But thank you, Jesus, amen, for who he is tonight in our lives. But this evening, we need to understand that even sometimes our parents can misunderstand us and we can misunderstand our parents through trials and situations and things that come our way, right? And here is Mary. And at one point, Mary, his own mother, misunderstood her son, Jesus. Hello, somebody, right? Through hurt, pain, things that have taken place in our own lives with our parents, right? With brothers, sisters, our family members. We might have been misunderstood at one point or time or another in our lives. But how many know this morning? Here he is, and Jesus is there, and he knows that his mother misunderstood him at one point. But tonight, I want to let you know that even tonight, my Jesus, your Jesus tonight, does not misunderstand you. He knows what you're going through. He knows the trial that you're in. He knows the agony and the pain that you're going through tonight. And he's there and he's saying, but I'm dying for your sins. I've died for you. I'm going to the cross for you, my son, my daughter. In Mark chapter 3, verse 21, his family also says, is he out of his mind? How many know sometimes that people will say, are we out of our mind? Right? Are we out of our mind? No, I'm not out of my mind tonight, amen? Because I serve a God who is mighty. I serve a God who is powerful. I serve a God tonight that doesn't misunderstand me tonight, but he knows all things about me tonight. Amen? The second thing I want to let you know tonight, that there at the cross, Jesus was saying, there is responsibility for our families. Hello, somebody. We live in a world where we don't want to take responsibility no longer. Shame on us tonight. Shame on us tonight, but there is a responsibility for our family. We have a commitment to our family tonight. Jesus was on that cross and he was saying, I'm committed to my family all the way to the very end. I'm committed all the way to the cross. And tonight you and I got to be committed. You and I got to be committed to our families. The Apostle Paul said, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. Whoo, that's a sad day today. Right? It's a sad day, but our commitment is to God first. Our commitment is to God first. See, when Jesus was on that cross, he took a responsibility for you and I. And he was there with God first at the center, but then he was there, and he was there for his family. How many know tonight that we got to show up for our family tonight? And we got to show up for our family. And my third point tonight is that Jesus gave his mother to his disciple. He was giving his mother to the church. Hello, somebody. As parents, we got to give our children the church tonight. Amen. We got to grow our children in the ways of God tonight. Amen. We got to give our children to the church. But here tonight, church, I want to let you know we got to give and commit ourselves and have responsibility in God's church tonight. Thank you and God bless.
Jesus. We bring an offering to you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have you enjoyed yourself so far? Yeah. Amen. Well, we're going to keep this train rolling. We have 4 more speakers that are coming up next. The first one will be Kristen Cooley, Minister Kristen Cooley. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst, Pastor Todd Lynch. That's a little different for Pastor Todd Lynch because he's on the keyboards, so we don't have to be able to do that. So I will stand in the middle aisle. I'm just kidding. That's my brother. But, yeah, so and then we have It Is Finished, Pastor Mark Greenhouse, my brother there. And then Elder Joyce Will Turner, Father, into my hands I commend my spirit. And then we have our last speaker who will bring up the summary will be Pastor Starks. And we're going to continue to roll in that order. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go. Here we go.
All right. How's everybody doing? Good, good. All right, like you said, my verse is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm reading from Mark 15, 30 through 36, just so we can get some context. Somebody say context. Context. There you go. It says, come down from the cross and save yourself. In the same way the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some heard, when some of those standing near heard this, they said he's calling to Elijah. So this word, forsaken, is ig kaltalepo. It means to leave behind or desert, okay? So Jesus is being crucified. Now we have to know something about Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He was an amazing man. He was out here helping thousands of people. People were sick, healing them. They was hungry, feeding them. They was demonic depressed. He was fixing that, all right? So this man was amazing. Yet at the same time, he had people that were still trying to condemn him. He had people who were still trying to throw him under the bus. He had his best friend betray him. He had his homies all turn their backs on him, right? And I'm a little raw, just so y'all know from the jump, right? Okay, yeah. So, right? And even after doing all these great things, after healing people, he was still tortured, degraded, backstabbed, denied, lied on. Now he's dying a slow death. Now we know Jesus is God, right? Jesus is God? Okay. There you go, part of the Trinity. If you guys don't know, he's part of the Trinity. So he's God, okay, right? Yet at that moment, he's still feeling like God has betrayed him. Now God cannot betray himself, okay? He cannot do that, right? But he was also a man. So while he was struggling, while he was suffering, he felt that God has betrayed him. He felt that God had turned his back on him. Why have you left me, God? Jesus could have easily just said, you know what, I'm tired of this pain. I'm finna mollywop these cats who just hurt me. But he decided not to do that. Amen. And we should all be grateful for it, right? Right, amen. There we go. Right. But even at that moment when people were, he felt God had betrayed him, God was saying, I haven't betrayed you. I just need you to stay the course a little bit. I know you're in pain. I know it's uncomfortable. I know you're hurting right now. I know people have backstabbed you. I know that you are in pain and you're suffering. But if you stay the course, your pain, people are going to learn from. They're going to be saved from it. They're not going to struggle anymore, right? They're not going to be hurt anymore. They're going to be able to live with me in heaven forever as long as you stay the course. And I believe there's something that we can learn from that. Even when we're in a situation where we feel like God has forsaken us or left us, God is still saying the same thing to you. You just got to stay the course. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it hurts right now. I know you're feeling pain right now. I know your friend left you. I know your job fired you. I know you might not look cute right now. You was dusty and ugly, but I still got something for you if you stay the course. Somebody got that? Somebody caught that, right? It's not about where you're at right now and the situation that you're in at the moment. It's not about the situation that you're in the moment. Sometimes he'll put us in situations that are very uncomfortable for us, but it's not just for us, it's for somebody else, right? We've all been through situations where something was bad,
We done dated somebody and they broke our hearts. Somebody done lied on us. Person was smiling in our face all the time. They wanted to take our place. The backstabbers, right? Somebody caught it. There you go, right? All of these times we have been in these situations, right? And God was saying, just stay the course. Just stay the course. Because God will never desert you. He's never going to leave you. But sometimes we get in our emotions. Sometimes we get we focus so much on what we're at right now that we forget that there's a bigger plan, right? I know I'm not the only one who struggled and suffered and went through something, and God had to pull me out. But at the time, I was like, God, where are you? I know I'm not the only one, huh? Right? Amen, right? Because God has something for us. He will not ever allow our pain to go in vain. Now, I will say this. Sometimes you put yourself in a situation. Sometimes you put yourself in a situation and God didn't have nothing to do with that, right? Sometimes you keep dating the same type of guy and wonder why you get the same results. That's not because God's not there. That's because you got an abundance of thirstiness, right? That's because you have an abundance of thirstiness. I'm talking to somebody right now, okay? Right? Right? Come on now, right? You keep getting fired from that job, right? You keep getting fired from that job, but that's because you're lazy. Right? I'm talking to somebody. Sometimes it's you. But when it's not you, and the way you'll know that it's not you and that it's actually God, when you're walking with God, right? Because Jesus always walked with God, right? He was the Word. He knew the Word. He always walked with God, yet he still suffered and he still struggled, right? Now, if you ain't walking with God and you get in a situation, step your game up, right? That's what I got to say to that, right? But if you are walking with God and you're in a bad situation right now, stay the course. Understand that God has something for you. The situation that you're in right now, it's not for you. It may be for somebody else, right? When your girl's about to leave you, when your family done left you, when nobody believes in you, but you walk in the course, that's because God has something for you. Your testimony is going to save somebody else. Come on now. Come on now. Jesus had the opportunity to leave the cross at any time, but he stayed the course. All I got to say tonight is stay the course. I'm done. Have a good night.
Playing that. All right, so I do. So, all right, so watch this. That clock's been jumping around, so I'm going to do this. Siri, set me a timer for 7 minutes. All right, we good to go. All right, she count down. Y'all be quiet. No, I'm just playing. All right. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. This is my scripture, John 19, 28, 29. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, I'm thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. Now, we're going to focus on I'm thirsty, but I needed to add that other part, and you'll see why. Now, let's define thirsty as a noun. Now, he already did the ghetto definition of thirsty, so I don't... You know, I can just move on. My wife is glad, too, because I was going to do it. All right. A feeling of needing or wanting to drink something. The lack of liquid needed to sustain life. In other words, tens of thousands died of thirst and starvation. Now, a practical definition or explanation is this. We know that water is basic to human life. Everyone say basic. Our bodies are made up of, does anyone know? Very good, adult male, 60% of water. That's right. Now, the females have 55. That's because they got a little bit of extra fat in the right places. Hallelujah. So they're 55. Now, what's interesting, hallelujah. Now, the kids, you know, the kids have 75% water. But what's interesting, and this is a little aside, is that as we get older, it gets less. And I could preach on that. But I can't. All right, so here we go. So let's talk about Jesus being on the cross and being thirsty. Now, previously, Jesus had refused to drink wine mixed with the painkiller that was given to victims before crucifixion. Now, he endured all of the excruciating pain, everybody say pain, of hanging on the cross for us in order to become the full propitiation. Now, that's a really, scholarly word, and it just means the price. So in order to become the full propitiation for our sins, he had to wait to endure the proper level or value of pain and agony. He could not quench his thirst prematurely, or the value of his death would not be enough. It's like if I walked into McDonald's with 25 cents, I'm going to walk out with a Happy Meal with only the toy in it. You know what I'm saying? I have to have more than that to get the Big Mac that I enjoy from. You know what I'm saying? I got to go in with the right price. Now, because of a Big Mac, or I'd actually like Quarter Pounders. Quarter Pounders, because Big Mac, I don't like all that sauce. But Quarter Pounders, they taste pretty good, and their value is higher, okay, than the dollar. So God valued you enough and placed a high value on you enough to sit there and wait long enough before even quenching his own thirst, before being finished. He wanted to make sure that he was the exact price to redeem you. You're important. Everybody say, I'm important. I don't think we really understand that as Christians. We don't understand how important we really are to God. We don't understand how much he really loves us. We don't even understand what he had to endure. You think you have stress in your life. Jesus had all kinds of stress in his life. Okay, when Jesus said, I thirst, it had been hours since he had a drink of water. But note, this stress, if Jesus was not that he was physically thirsty, the stress was upon his successful fulfilling of the scriptures. When back in that day, school was all about learning the scriptures. You learn how to read and write by learning the Old Testament. So he knew all of the prophetic words. He knew all of the prophecies, because not only was he God, but he was also fully man. Fully man, fully God. That's all, theological that I don't have time to get into. But he was fully man and fully God. And because of that, he knew all the prophecies, so he was waiting so that all the prophecies might be fulfilled, so that beyond of a shadow of a doubt, we would know that he was really the king. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, we would know that he was really the Lord. And all through history, it's been proven over and over and over again that he is. Oh, man. I got to skip some stuff. I love it. The satisfaction of spiritual thirst is experienced through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whosoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. All right. The satisfaction of thirst, is by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that blessing should be administered from us as believers to others. That's the whole reason that we do what we do, just like Jesus did. No greater love than this was a man to give his life for a friend. He considers you a friend. We need to be friends to others. We need to get out of our shell. Stop being so selfish. Oh, no, God, I could get stuck on that. All right, here we go. Here's one more. Jeremiah 2:13. Put it up. This is actually a good one. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. What are the cracked cisterns in your life? What are the things that, the holes that are in you that are allowing stuff to come out that should be going to other people, that should be blessing others, that should be strengthening the kingdom? What are those cracks? I mean, it could be as simple as, searching for a mate instead of letting God bring it to you. Or even deeper than that, where you just don't trust him enough. Or maybe somebody's hurt you and you can't get over that. You can't forgive. Maybe unforgiveness. Maybe being too tight with your money. maybe, like in my case, I like video games. I like to play video games. All right? And sometimes that takes up time. Time is the one resource that we can't get back and that I don't have enough of. We need time, amen, to do things. And a lot of times we waste time. It's okay to have hobbies, but we waste time. Well, I hear what you're saying. God wants you to get into your destiny. And he wants you to shore up all the cracks in your cisterns. That's it.
Good evening, ATC. Good to be back home to my New Day family. Y'all ready to eat? Let's eat. Amen. I'm just going to flow with y'all brothers right here. My topic is, it is finished. Jesus ain't thirsty no more. You see what I'm saying? It's finished. So let's get into the word right here. Let's eat. And we're going to talk about, we know when Jesus was on that cross and he said it is finished, he did a mark. He did a lot of things that he said it was finished. But let's talk about a few of them. My wife say, slow down. I hear you, Sister Jackie, and my wife. Although the redemption of mankind is the most important finished task, many other things were finished at the cross. The suffering Jesus endured while on the earth, and especially in his last hours, were the most costly things that he suffered. God's will for Jesus was accomplished in his perfect obedience to his Father. Most importantly, the power of sin and Satan was finished. No longer would mankind have to suffer the flaming arrows of the evil one. He said, it's finished. He said, it's finished for me. I done came to do what I had to do, but it's just starting for y'all. And he said, because it's just starting for y'all, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you now, because I love y'all. So I done taught y'all how to fight. I done taught y'all how to pray. I done taught y'all how to heal. But I'm going to leave you some armor so when you get in that battle, you're going to be able to say, Satan, it is finished. Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 6. I forgot my glasses, too. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in the dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the times of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For the shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith so that the fiery arrows of the devil, put on the salvations of your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Listen to me, it's finished. It's finished. So when you're going through some things in your life, you got to use Jesus' language. You got to talk to those problems. When depression comes, it's finished. Now I got me some joy. When anxiety come, you got to talk to that anxiety and let them know, this is finished. I have me some hope. When you ain't got no money in your pocket, you got to speak to your pocket and let it know, I got me some money. When your life is not going right, when your kids are acting up in school, you got to let your kids know, this is finished. Joker, straighten up and act right. When that marriage ain't right, you got to talk to that marriage. Let the marriage know, this is finished. Woman, husband, we going to straighten up and we going to get this right. Because it is finished. Listen to me. He's not getting on that cross again for y'all. He's done getting on that cross. You better pick your own cross up and get off of the cross and let it know it is finished. There's nothing in your life that should have you in bondage. You better look at the bondage. You better take the chains off and let them know it is finished. All the excuses that we do as Christians, falling down on the ground, get up, it's finished. That's nonsense. How you talking about your God is a victor and we acting like the victims? No victim. It's finished. Raised like Jesus raised. You understand what I'm saying? We men and women of God, we soldiers. We conduct ourselves like soldiers. We don't run. We stand. We face the devil. And you talk your Jesus talk. In the name of Jesus, get out of my house. Get out of my marriage. Get away from my sons because it is finished. Now depart, Satan. That's how you got to talk to the devil. You don't let the devil come in your life and take control of your life. You take control of your own life. Nobody, no thing should be telling you what to do. But just quoting the scriptures, well, I'm the head and that's the tail. You better act like the head and let the tail know who you are. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's finished. Drug addiction is finished. Adultery is finished. Lying is finished. Messing around is finished. For all the pastors not paying y'all tithes, amen. Y'all flowing with pastor now. You understand what I'm saying? We gonna finish some things up in here. When you leave this tonight, you better learn how to talk like Jesus. When you, hey, as soon as you walk out the door, the devil gonna be waiting for you. As soon as he come in your face, nah, Joker, it's finished in the name of Jesus. Todd, you know what, baby? I'm gonna use my Jesus language. I'm finished.
Amen. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the glory of God. Amen. Luke 23:46 says that, and Jesus, when he cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And then the word of God says that he gave up the ghost. He breathed his last breath. He gave up the ghost. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the nail shop. Amen, ladies? Yeah. All right, I was in the nail shop, and just so happened that Jerry Springer was on in the nail shop. Oh, so y'all watch Jerry Springer, amen. So y'all with me then. So Jerry Springer was on in the nail shop, and there was two men fighting over one woman. There were two men that were fighting over one woman. She was a little trifling woman. She slept with one, left one, and then went to the other one. But one of them was really in love with her. He cared for her a lot. Even though she had misused him and messed over him, he loved her so much. So he was pleading his case to her to get her to see how much he really loved her. And he began to tell her a lot of things. Some men look like, oh, if she slept with her, I ain't telling her nothing. She ain't going about her business. But this man was pleading his case because he wanted this woman bad. It didn't matter what she had done, did to him. And as he was saying what he was saying, he stopped and he turned around and he looked at her. He said, in order that you may live, I will give you my last breath. That's what I said. In order that you may live, I will give you my last breath. And as she was saying that, and as he said that to her, suddenly I turned and I looked at the TV because I wasn't watching it at first. I was just listening. And I looked up to see what was going on. And as I turned to look up, the Spirit of God said to me in just that instant, in just that moment, that's what I did for you. I loved you so much that I gave you my last breath. So as he was hanging up on the cross, and as he was beginning to give it up, and as we begin to see that he gave his last breath, my mind began begin to think about him hanging up on that cross. And I begin to begin right in the nail shop. I begin to thank Jesus for giving his last breath for me. Now, what does all of that mean? What does all of that mean, him giving up his last breath? And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So as he's hanging up on the cross, it was the blood that paid the price. It was his body that was the demonstration of his love. But he said, in essence, when he turned and said, Father, into thy hands I give my spirit. You can mess with the blood. You can mess with the body, but you can't mess with my spirit. You can't touch my spirit, because I and my Father, we are one, and I'm only here to do the will of the Father. Come on and bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So what he said is, I gave my last breath so that you can have life, and you can have life more abundantly. So don't worry about when you die and you leave this earth. Glory be to God in the name of Jesus, because the word of God says from absence from the body is presence with the Lord. So I am like Jesus. I am like Jesus because I have this nature. And so what he was saying, the very essence of who I am, you can't touch it. I can get down off this cross if I want to. But because I love you so much, and I want you to have a life abundant, and I want you to have a life of new, I'm going to give you my last breath, and I'm going to die so that you can live. And I believe in the name of Jesus that we're living here today. We're living right now because of Jesus giving up his last breath. And if you know today that you have life and you have life abundant, and you know that Jesus died for you, he gave it up for you, give him a hand praise and thank him. Give him a... Woo! God, we thank you. Can't nobody touch you. Can't nobody mess with you. They can kill your body, but they can't steal the essence of who you are. Your spirit is in the hands of the Lord. God has you. Greater lives in me. So next time you go to the nail shop, come on. The next time you're driving down your car, come on. The next time you get in an altercation with somebody, all I want you to think about is Jesus. What he did for you. What he did for me. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so we say, thank you, God, for dying, Lord God. We say, thank you, Lord God, for giving of your body. But we say, thank you, Lord God, that your spirit is in the hands of God. Hallelujah. Come on and bless Jesus.
All about you.
My God, while you are standing to your feet, we have one of the best speakers on this side of heaven. And he's going to bring this thing to a close. I'm going to ask you to just do me a favor as he comes. Just give God the best praise you can give. Just give him the best praise that's due him. Come on and lift him up. Come on and magnify him. Come on and give him the glory. Woo! God, we love you. God, we love you. God, we love you. God, we love you.
Come on, somebody. Praise him in the house. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, he's worthy. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's all right. I'm standing on Pastor Tony Dunn's platform. Look at here. I done made it. My God. Look at here. Man, he got people walking around with walkie-talkies. I ain't got no warrants, man. The brother was sitting right there at the walkie-talkie. I said, why he got to sit next to me?
Amen. This is New Day. Come on, is it a new day? My God. Oh, there's a real clock back there, too. Oh, Jesus. Help, Lord. Pastor Tony and Sister Jackie, First Lady Jackie, and to New Day family, to all of the distinguished guests and pastors and preachers, bishops and apostles, evangelists, teachers, Sunday school workers, amen, vocation Bible school teachers, amen, friends, foe, and haters. Thank you all for coming, and good night. I don't have a scripture, so I'm just supposed to preach. Is that all right? Jesus stepped down from his throne, pulled off his pre-existing glory, put on his mortal flesh to be born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a cow eating trough, slept on an animal hay, slept on an animal's hay trough, raised as a carpenter, baptized by John in the muddy waters of the Jordan River, misunderstood by his family, betrayed by his friends, forsaken by his disciples, arrested by the soldiers, beaten by a mob, and nailed to the old rugged cross. Jesus, my Savior. And some of you might say, who is this Jesus that thirsted? Who is this Jesus that said, woman, behold thy son? And who is this Jesus, amen, that said, Father, I commend my spirit into thy hand? Who is this Jesus? Well, let me tell you who he is in my 7 minutes and 56 seconds. Let me tell you, yes, the Lord is the Ancient of Days. He's Abraham's Redeemer. He's Adam's vindicator. He's Noah's ark. Abraham's sacrifice. He's Moses' burning bush. He's Joshua's battle axe. He's Gideon's fleece. He's Samuel's power. He's David's music. He's Solomon's wisdom. Jeremiah's balm in Gilead. Ezekiel's wheel in the millet wheel. Are you praying for me? He's Job's war horse pouring in the valley. He's Daniel's stone rolling down through the mountain. He's Matthew's king. He's Mark's suffering servant. He's Luke's great physician. He's John's word made flesh. And he's the acts coming of the Holy Ghost. Yes, the Lord is unmatchless in his attitude. He's unrevealing in his beauty. The Lord is unrepassed in his care. The Lord is unequal in his deity. The Lord is unmatched in his enduring love. The Lord will never fail. He will never forsake the righteous. The Lord is good and he's great. The Lord is our hope, a strong tower. Yes, this is the Lord I serve. That's why, my brother and sister, we ought to obey him. If we move, we will fall. If we stumble, we will wake up. But that's why we should obey him. Obey him. He can speak and men will fall dead. And he can speak again and men will live. He's the bridge over troubled waters. He's the bright and morning star. When we fall, he'll pick us up. When we repent, he'll forgive us. When we get weak, he'll revive us. Listen, I'm fired up. Listen, hallelujah. When we can't see, he'll provide light. When we get lost, he'll find us. When we're hungry, he'll feed us. When we're fearful, he'll encourage us. When we stumble, he'll steady us. When we hurt, he'll heal us. When we're broken, he'll mend us. When we face trials, he'll be present. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus. That's the Lord. He is our protector. The Lord is our light in darkness. The Lord is our joy in the time of sorrow. The Lord is my hope for tomorrow. I stopped by to tell you, New Day, ain't he good? Won't he do it? Won't he bring you out? Pastor Tony, won't he be there with you when you didn't know where you were going? Was he there? Didn't he talk to you, son? God will do it. And I just stopped by to tell you in my last 4 minutes. I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, sinking to never to rise again. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. And let me tell you who was on the cross. It was love that lifted me. It was love that went to a cross. It was love that hung on the cross. It was love that got off the cross. It was love that they put in the tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Didn't he do it? All power. What kind of power you need? He got power.
Woo. See, that's how I grew up. That's the church I came up in. Amen. Love you guys so much. Amen.